The thing is not how you are on your best day, is how can you step up on your worst day. When everything is going terrible, when you're tired, when you're frustrated, when you're edgy, how do you treat other people?
Fuck pain, fuck heartbreak. I'm still in love with life.
From the multicultural headquarters of the future capital of the free-thinking states of America known as Los Angeles, this is the Drunken Taoist Podcast.
On this episode, it's a Rich and Bolelli chat that starts with a car wreck in Daniele's front yard. Moves on to Pastor Paul, out on the streets helping lonely lost folks with a good dose of kindness and understanding. Rich gets a new spider bite. Daniele has great hopes for his motivational nuggets of wisdom. First ones are always free. Another great piece of listener mail. And the mystery of these He-Man woman haters being threatened by the term toxic masculinity. Here we go. Scratchy voice and all.
And now, asking you all to spread the words that corporations are not persons, I'm Rich Evers. And my partner in crime, the savage philosopher and middle finger of the gods, Daniele Bolelli. As we invite you to lower the lights, batten down the hatches, and prepare to open your mind. For the Drunken Taoist Podcast begins now.
Welcome back, everybody. Another fine episode of the Drunken Taoist Podcast, episode 254. It's a Rich and Bolelli episode, so you guys are in for a treat.
Yes, indeed. I have, my mind is so scattered that we are recording this intro out about, I don't know, a couple of weeks after we recorded the episode.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
I'm so this sure is, it's really good.
So it's going to be a surprise for me too when we get to it. But before we get going, of course, thank you to Shore Design T-shirts for being amazing to us. Of course, thank you also to Purest Mushrooms. If you guys want to check it out, the awesome healing properties of medicinal mushroom, purestmushrooms.com. The code is History on Fire for a discount on single packages. And there's a whole variety of from turkey tail to chaga, reishi, lion's mane, cordyceps, the whole deal. I like them. I take most of them on a fairly regular basis. I dig them a lot, so check them out, purestmushrooms.com. Other than that, shall we give... Well, of course, before I forget, Dakota Pure Bison. If you are in the market for bison-based products, steak or other protein you want to put on your plate, code HOF10 at DakotaPureBison.com will get you a 10% discount. Again, that's HOF10 at DakotaPureBison.com. The other day, speaking of which... Sorry, I'm going to go on a tangent, then I get back to business.
That's but like, totally fine.
I started writing, I started playing a little bit, like, I don't know if you remember, way back when I had written a screenplay for like a Little Bighorn miniseries.
Yes.
Based on the, and it went semi-far. I got to meet with Oliver Stone, I got all these things that look very promising. Now I'm re-elaborating it completely, like going back, but with a very different... Because times have changed, so there's more openness to native material. And
for sure.
So I'm cutting out most of the white guy's past, and it's going to be mainly focused on Lakota and Crow, kind of parallel stories on those guys.
That's awesome.
And I was writing this hunting scene, and I was like... How do I make this interesting? I ended up writing it from the point of view of the buffalo. So that was kind of fun. First it was just this bison minding his business, and now things play out from his angle, and I had a blast doing so. So now talking about bison reminded me of that one.
Is it done?
No, I mean, what I'm doing with it, I'm actually first writing it as more like a novel type of format. And then when I'll reach the spot in the story that would basically be one episode, I will go back and essentially rewrite it and do it in screenplay format. Because, of course, it's a completely different style. Because, you know, in novel format, you have all the internal dialogue, what he's thinking, what is the screenwriting. You have none of that. So it's a different kind of gig. But I think it would give me a structure to work with. And then if the screenplay route doesn't work as much, I can always go and the novel route and see what I can do with that. So it's like,
I can certainly think of one person that might be interested in
reading
that. Right.
So that would be so that's kind of what I was playing with. But yeah, the hunting scene, I love doing this thing of switching perspectives and having scenes from point of views that maybe just the one mini chapter from the different point of view.
Sure.
Just to shake things up, just to keep you. I enjoy that a lot in writing.
Did the bison know he was in trouble from the beginning?
He's kind of getting the vibe like, everybody in the herd looks cool. They are not aware of it, but it's my job to be the protector, and I smell trouble. Something is up, but I can't quite put my hoof on it.
That's excellent.
And so he's there kind of like, something's going down.
Oddly enough, my wife's uncle had just been to Yellowstone in February or March.
Oh, beautiful.
And they went on a snowmobile tour, and normally it's just to see the bison.
Yeah.
And he'd even asked earlier in the day, he's like, do we ever see any wolves? No, no one's ever seen any wolves. Well, guess what?
They ran into a pack.
They rolled up. Apparently the alpha bison was off by himself for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And seven wolves
surrounded
him. And he said there was a point where the alpha wolf gave some sort of sound and they all dropped.
Yeah.
Like military troops.
Right, right, right.
And at that point, the herd starts coming over to rescue him.
Oh, wow.
It's just completely amazing.
Wow.
I'll get you the video, man.
There's video.
There's video of
it. Oh, I want to see that.
And then there was a second pack.
Damn. So it was a big showdown.
As far as no wolves.
Ton of wolves versus ton of bison.
As the snow is falling. I mean,
how amazing.
Beyond amazing.
No, those places are... I think if you live in North America, one trip to Yellowstone in your lifetime, worth it. You know, it's such a beautiful place.
Well, I never thought about going in winter, but everything is boiling, it's steaming as well.
I mean, so winter, I have no doubt that is unbelievably beautiful. The travel will be rough.
But they all had them in suits, and the snowmobile is pretty fun.
No, I think once you get there, you have fun. I think it's the roads are sometimes you can't go because there's a blizzard,
and then you're
snowed under, and there's so much. So it may be slightly tricky because I know that going to in that area, Montana, South Dakota, and so on in winter is like more the times that the flight is canceled because of weather than it lands, and there's all of that. But no, man, Yellowstone is, once in a lifetime experience.
That story that started today, her uncle, he's got a trick knee, and he was standing next to his snowmobile, and the knee went out, and when he fell, he grabbed the throttle.
Oh, no.
Yanked the throttle, pulled him.
Yeah.
You know, it's balanced on its side, so only like half the tread's gone, and the only phone pole in three counties, bam!
He managed
right
to
into
hit
it, and then it jettisoned him into the snow.
Jesus.
So it kind of shook him, and he opened his eyes, and everything was white.
Yeah.
And everything was quiet.
You're like,
he's like, I'm dead.
I'm dead. I'm in heaven.
And then hands started reaching in and grabbing him, but because of that, they had to get him another snowmobile out.
Right.
And that's what moved the time so that they were there for when the
wolves. For the wolves. It worked out.
It worked out.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's a great story.
No, I love that a lot.
I'll get that video for you. It's just outstanding.
Can't wait to see it. It's like my entire social media, you know how the algorithms feed you whatever you click on kind of thing?
Unfortunately.
In my case, I think I'm managing to make it work because I'm clicking almost exclusively on animal videos. Like, most of it is funny puppies, and then there's, wild animals doing crazy things, and that's pretty much all I click on. I'm enjoying my social media experience a lot more since I started doing that.
I always click on ocean stuff, and there was a humpback whale giving birth.
Yeah, like stuff like that.
And then
awesome.
The mama nudges the baby up to the surface.
Yeah,
and they had a drone as well, so as it crested, that little blowhole, first breath.
No, stuff like that is amazing.
That's
the best
stuff.
That's how I start my day. Like when I look at the first pass that I do to any social, I look at stuff like this every day, or I see a dog singing with his owner, and I'm like, okay, my day started on a good note.
No reason for any more doom scrolling.
No, exactly.
It doesn't do any good. You're not going to change anything.
Yeah,
it just makes you worried.
Yeah, indeed. So I think we're still in the intro, so I'll go back to saying a big thank you to the sweet folks parting with their harder money.
Let the pottering begin.
So let's thank Mr. Luis Pesquera, Yanni Linnima, Jesse Rantakangas, Tommy Fong, Aaron Weisner, Clayton Payne, Daniel Fischel, Stephen McKee, Jonathan Waterlow, Donald Shipwitten, Paul Donato, Ryan Merklin, Nick Zunica, Istis Juska. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for keeping us in business and supporting us.
Indeed.
If you want to join this brave band of heroes, you can always PayPal either directly through my email, which is bodhiHI1974@yahoo.com. Again, bodhiH1974@yahoo.com. Or through the link paypal.me/D and my last name, BOLELLI. All of the above works, and also works if you use our Amazon link when you shop on Amazon. That also helps us out.
If anybody wants to check out Kiva.org, those loans are continuing to stack up. We're going to reach $250,000 very shortly. Well,
shortly.
It'll be a year.
But still.
Completely incredible. $25 a time. Get your money back, lend it again. And a lot of people are getting a big kick out of it. Some of these folks are $400 and $500 loans.
Damn. I love that.
Yeah. I love it too.
Cool. Let's get this episode rolling.
Here we go. I couldn't help a little bit of rearranging out in the front yard.
Yeah, man. That was something. We had some asshole driving at crazy speed through the neighborhood, blind drunk at 3:30 in the afternoon, managed to destroy Savannah's car, send it flying right through the yard, destroy a fence, cinder blocks, send some 50, 60, 70 pound pieces of cinder block flying through the air, one of them landing within 2 feet of Isabella's window. Hit a tree, possibly killing it. We'll see about that part. Only after all that, the car stopped.
And let me guess, he wasn't really hurt at all.
He broke an arm, which, if you ask me, way too little for that guy.
Not bad.
And, you know, as he was trying to escape, because of course he went and escaped, he crawled through the truck, managed to fall backward and hit his head on concrete, but clearly not hard enough because he still managed to run away. The police eventually caught him and arrested him.
Jesus Christ.
Of course, uninsured. You know, with all the joy that goes with that. So, yeah, that was fun. That was, I mean, honestly, if Savannah's car had not been parked up there, he would have been in our living room. He was going to go right through everything.
Yeah, would have gone right through that front door.
Yeah. So that was...
But let me guess, luckily, the insurance is going to handle everything.
Oh, yeah. No, the insurance is your friend.
Yeah.
So we're getting screwed on two fronts. We are getting screwed on insurance number one, being the one that the car insurance for Savannah is telling her, oh, we only cover you if it's your fault. If it's the other guy's fault, it's his insurance. And we're like, well, he doesn't have insurance. And they're like, that's really unfortunate for you guys, because that's all there is to it. You know, there is...
I know I pay for uninsured motorists. That only... What does that do?
So my guess is that actually she does have some level of insurance.
Sure.
But they blatantly lie to her to make her go away.
Oh.
So I think it's going to require a little more aggressive approach to talking to them, going like, hey, motherfucker, look at this paragraph 3 here, say that I have this, and...
You're trying to tell me that the insurance companies may be in some way dishonest?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do, right? They lie to you because in the ideal world, I mean, they don't get punished for lying, so they lie to you to make you go away. A bunch of people who are more timid are just going to go, oh, okay, and just walk away. And
thank
that's
you.
It. And now you've saved thousands and thousands of dollars. So these assholes are it's going to be a battle with these guys. The other guy, the house insurance... Of course, they are, we'll pay, we'll cover. not the first $1,000 because that's deductible. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. That's and also, you know, we are probably going to raise your premium for likely a period of 5 years, anywhere between 40% to 70%, which basically means you end up paid the same amount of stuff by the time it's all done. And the best part of all is that I try to get a straight answer to actually do the math and see which one is more convenient, whether to make a claim or not. Could not for days of calling find somebody who tells me how many years and how much they raise the premium. Because that would be too easy, right? So
seems like there's just be a chart.
Yeah, all right. But easy enough. It's like you make
those
a claim.
Actuary tables day and night, poring over them. How can we fuck everybody over the worst? It's just... That is infuriating.
So the odds are we are probably out by thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
But your luck held.
Yeah, I mean, and again, that's the silver lining part of it all is like, okay, we're out thousands of dollars. Everybody's in one piece. We're talking money. We're not talking lives and limbs and bones. So... as much as that sucks, because nobody likes to wake up and find themselves with, I don't know, it's going to be $15,000, $20,000, a bill like that on their hand, which can really fuck you up. But again, we're talking money, not lives. There's a big difference. While money is stressful and annoying, it's not somebody dead or permanently mangled because of this, which is exactly what was going to happen if this guy didn't crash into Savannah's car first. That was just parked there, luckily, as a barrier, because otherwise, he was, you know, there are a bunch of kids riding their bikes that day around the neighborhood. He was just going to mow right through them and just kill somebody for sure, because he was just blind drunk at the wheel. He had a passenger that was also blind drunk.
Did the passenger run too, or did they...
No, the passenger was too drunk to run.
Oh.
So he was thinking about it, but was just too fucked up to even try.
Too bad his pal wasn't too drunk to drive.
Yeah, it was just really terrible. Really, really terrible. And of course, you know, this asshole is probably going to... I don't know. I mean, I like to find out what happened with him and what's going to happen if they charge him with what or... But the thing is, I don't have exactly incredible high hope because, you know, you see all the cases of these guys who even kill somebody and they're out 2 years later and they do it again.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of super harsh laws, but when it comes to drunk driving, fuck them. You know, you get busted for drunk driving. As far as I'm concerned, you never drive again. Let alone if you hurt somebody, then it's like,
oh, yeah. Then for certain.
Find a cell and throw away the key because it's because you did it by being an asshole, by choosing to be out of it at the wheel. And, you know, again, drink all you want in your fucking house, you know. When you get behind the wheel of a car, it's a bit of a different story. And I was talking with one of the cops and he was saying, man, these days is tricky because it's not just that they are drunk. It's that usually they are drunk on Xanax and maybe smoke some weed too. And so usually there's like a combination of multiple things that go into it. So they think like, I only had 8 beers. I can handle 8 beers. Never mind that you're probably drunk already. But on top of it, they are on 3 Xanax or something. Ugh. And you're like, okay, great.
And the addictive quality of it is just amazing.
Yeah.
Now these people, the thirst, they call it.
Yeah, the guy's car was covered in empty beer cans at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Well, at least they were hard at work.
Right? It's like they probably just finished an hour earlier and they started downing beer like there was no tomorrow and that was that. Yeah, infuriating. But again, what the hell can you do, Andy? If your worst problems in the world are money problems, don't get me wrong. Does it suck horrendously? But there's worse.
Yeah.
There's a lot worse out there. So I've definitely been pissed. But comparatively, speaking with Dan Carlin, actually, he was like, oh, man, you're handling it so philosophically. I'm like, I think I've seen a lot worse in my life that comparatively speaking, this stuff is like, it's bad, sure.
It's a definite inconvenience.
But, and I'll have to pay for it for a while, but it's fixable.
Yeah.
It's not stuff where you can do anything about and is tragic and unfixable. So I'll take this. These are my problems right now. I'll take them, you know?
I'm just glad nobody got hurt.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because, yeah, it could have been really bad. I mean, if we were gardening outside, he would have mowed right through us.
Yeah, you would have looked up and...
Yeah, just killed you right
away. I wonder if he's going to... No, he's not.
Find out. No. I mean, guys like that, you know, when you're that far gone that you make those kind of decisions. And again, this is not a guy who was like, never mind that I would be still pissed with a guy who's barely over the limit. But this was a guy who didn't see the stop sign, didn't see the house, and that it was that drunk. Wow. So it's...
No skid mark.
No, nothing whatsoever. But on the Dan Carlin front, on the other end, I got to go to LA recently on a better note. And I saw Dan is doing a tour where he's doing just a few dates around the country where he just, somebody on stage feed them some question and Dan just start rolling, talking about everything and, you know, all his...
All good news.
Yeah, anything from AI to nuclear war to the craft of podcasting to history to you name it. And... he's funny too, because, yeah, well, of course, there's a lot of really dark, heavy subjects because, you know, he's... What was the title of his book? The End is Always Near. So,
gloom,
you know, he's making
gloom
fun
and doomer
of that. Like,
what, where did they have it at? How big was the place?
The place was great. It was like, I want to say United Theater in downtown LA. It's this beautiful theater. Looks amazing. It's, I've been there once or twice to watch a concert before. It's a
couple thousand seats?
Probably not that big. I'm going to say 800, 1,000, something like that. But still great. And it was beautiful. That's one thing, that it was beautiful to see the love that he got from people.
I'm sure.
That's actually the first thing he said, is when he walked out, he said, I really wish every one of you once can experience a moment like you guys are giving me. Because he was clearly, he was just being bathed in this love of, which was great to see, because Dan deserved it. He's a good guy. He's just a great person.
Well, we'll have to start your tour at some point. Yeah. People would be excited to see you.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy for Dan. That was a fun thing. So
still no new episodes, though.
No, of course. It has an episode every 5 years or something. That's pretty funny. But let's jump on... I wanted to tell you this. So I'll keep my mouth shut about names, about... Ooh. Naming names. But there's a guy that I knew semi-well many years ago. He always, like, when we would chat, because we knew a lot of people who were very new agey, we would make fun of the more blatantly...
The crystal crowd?
Yeah, a little bit. And again, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against it until it becomes ridiculous, when it's like, just think positive and all will be great. And I remember that he made fun of that, probably even more than I did. And now I checked... And I look at his social media and he's ridiculously popular. He has like hundreds of thousands of people.
Is that what your advice to the world was a couple of weeks back?
So that's
ago?
Exactly where it's
at. I was wondering
at.
What that was.
So I was looking at that and I was like, and I look at the content of what he produces. And he's like spiritual Hallmark cards,
ooh,
right? They are just like the most obvious shit you have ever heard in your life. And it's like... Try to relax. Stress is bad for you. You know, things that I was like, come on, man. Seriously, you need to hear this from anybody. It was so... So I don't know if he's just... His brain turned to mush, or if he's just plainly cynical and he's like, okay, there's a crowd to scam and I'm glad I'm to be the one doing it and make money. I really don't know, because it could be that he's drinking his own Kool-Aid.
Wow.
It could be that he's just... I kind of... tend to think the first one is more likely, that he somehow something happened, he started
believing it.
Yeah. But in light of that, I decided I should start my own scam in the past. I mean, start a career in motivational speaking. So you very sweet people will be blessed with a preview of my brilliant material. So I'm going to give you the first three nuggets of wisdom free, just like a good drug dealer.
After that, it's $29.99 a month.
The first is free. So, you ready for wisdom to be showered upon you?
Let me begin the Zen music. Okay.
So, Stop being a stupid loser. Be a smart winner. That is one.
That's some great advice.
Right? I'm glad I'm the one to tell you. If you suffer from insomnia, just stop it. Sleep. It's good for you.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful advice as well.
I know. I shouldn't be giving this stuff out for free, but maybe, this is
maybe,
how much.
Maybe one more.
I'm going to go crazy and I'm going to give you 6 more. That's how good it's going to be.
This is a lot. Okay, I'm taking these down.
To be relaxed and happy is better than being nervous and miserable. Choose happiness. Become a little better every day. Stop becoming worse. Everything works out for the best. Just believe in yourself.
Ask those folks at the morgue.
If you are kidnapped by members of a depraved drug cartel and they begin applying electrodes to your genitals, just visualize your happy place. If you stop choosing weakness, strength would be yours. And lastly, and still very, very important, choose friends who are smart, beautiful, successful, rich, healthy, and generous. Friends who are dumb, ugly, unsuccessful, poor, and unhealthy, and stingy while we are at it, are just no good.
Just bring you down. Wow, I feel like everything's shifting all of a sudden.
Right? I knew it I could do it. So,
wow.
For turning your life around, this is just the beginning. Just start paying me and all will be good. So money, deeds to platinum mines, whatever, you know. I'm ready to take it all.
Well, your prosperity gospel is very motivational.
Right? That's what I thought. I mean, it was mind-blowing, though, that not that somebody tries to scam the public in this way, but that there are a ton of people who actually
fall for it.
Fall for stuff that I'm not even kidding. Like, this is a parody, of course, but not that far. It's really not that far from what I was reading. And I'm just like, how is this a thing? And how is this a thing on a better note, though?
Let's I was just trying to process. I mean, does nobody have anything better to do than to try to fuck each other over?
I don't know, man. Well, okay, apparently not, because that's my counterpoint on the next one. So our recent multiple-time guest, Paul Bergman.
Yes. Oh, yes.
You definitely love. Well, I do too. He's great. He wrote a thing recently, and I asked him if I could use it on a Substack post. By the way, if you guys haven't checked out my Substack, you can subscribe for free. You'll get pretty much everything. The only thing that's like behind the paywall is when I do bonus episodes for History on Fire. But all the writings, everything is free otherwise there. So,
is this when he went and made a new friend last week?
Yeah. So he wrote this old thing, and I asked him, hey, can I use it? And he was like, of course, you know, no problem. And I'm going to read... It's a long read, so I'm going to read just parts of it here and there. But, like, what I love about him is how he's the opposite of the bullshit Hallmark card guy. He's just so raw and radically honest because he describes... I'm going to paraphrase most of it and only read a little bit at the end. But, like, he essentially goes through this long narration of how he saw this pretty much crazy homeless guy on a street corner yelling at passing cars. And he's like, okay, let me give it a try. And he stopped and he approached the guy and the guy was ready to yell at him and punch him. And then he said, hey, I have a gift for you and stuff. And the guy mellowed out a second and he just started convincing me, hey, I have a new sleeping bag here. I have a few food supplies. I have a few things. He does that all the time, right? He carries 3 things that he give to people whenever he can, right? So that's exactly not quite the let's scam each other all the time kind of thing.
No, that's the opposite.
And he, you know, they sat down and have a conversation. And he say, homeless dude was a few years, Paul, I think he's in his early 60s or something. And this homeless guy was like in his 50s and clearly had a rough life. Didn't look like he was doing particularly well physically or mentally. And after they chat for a little bit, you know, he homeless guy was honest. He was like, yeah, man, you know, I just made a ton of bad choices in life. My parents have always been supportive. They gave me 10 million second chances. I blew them all away. That's how it is.
Wow.
Paul was like, you know what? They are still alive. They are in their 80s or something. Still, cool them and let them know you appreciated the fact that they gave you those chances. You're not asking for anything. Just say thank you for trying and, you know, much love and stuff like that. And they will appreciate it anyway, regardless of anything else. And so they chat a little bit. And the guy is, you know, Paul asks him if he has any friends. And of course he doesn't. And one thing that I thought was powerful was, and the guy then told Paul, like, look, I don't really want to be this person, you know, the guy yelling at everyone from the side of the road. I don't like that. I would like to do good to people, but I have no idea how to do it. You know, I never really. And so they talk a little bit more. And the thing that I love about Paul is that up until now is a great, beautiful, generous story. But it could be wrapped in a, look at how cool I am, look at how I'm changing somebody's life, look at, you know, there could be some people who do the exact same thing with an ego, which, don't get me wrong, I rather people feed their ego by being nice to people than by being an asshole, but still, it would still be a little. Paul is so damn honest, because he's like, look, what have I done? I've given the guy a few free supplies and I treated him nicely for an hour. He's like, am I changing the guy's life? No. He plainly states, I hope actually he goes sooner rather than later, because this existence he's living is misery 24/7. So just for him, I hope he dies early, because there's no upside here. You know, this is not working well.
Imagine your biggest concern of the day is trying to find a place to go to the bathroom.
That would be bad. On top of it, your mind is your enemy, because your mind is fucking you. Like, when you are at that level of mental illness, there's obviously a problem. That's rough. And Paul is like, and that's the part that I love about him, where Paul goes, this whole time we look into each other's eyes as we spoke, and as I got up to leave, I look at him one last time and cried inside. I so wish I had Jesus superpowers, like in all those bullshit healing stories in the Bible and all those bullshit healing preachers on TV. But I wish, if I could just touch him and make him well. I wish I could be super Jesus and raise from the dead, slaughter Israelis and Palestinians, murder Ukrainians, heal and feed migrants who travel thousands of miles through hell to just maybe give their kids a chance at life. I just wanted to heal the whole mess of this fucked up world. But I can't, and neither could Jesus. He was human. Betrayed, brutalized, and butchered. No happy ending or reward for preaching love and unity. And that's why I still follow him, the crucified one, and follow in his footsteps. That Jesus makes sense to me. I follow with no expectation of a happy ending, but simply just maybe making happy moments along the way to the end. I hugged him, got back in my car, had a good cry on the way home. Then I reloaded another backpack and sleeping bag. I can't heal the hopeless world, and sometimes it overwhelms. But I can do some sort of good. And I was like, that is sweet.
Huh?
That is a beautiful, beautiful attitude. That's it's real, you know what I mean? It's so raw and real, both his desire to help people, his understanding of the limitations, both his and just how realistically we can affect.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's a beautiful human being.
Well, and the transformation is unbelievable, because he was clearly on the other side of it for a long time.
That's also
amazing and very hopeful.
No, I was, he's really such a sweet guy, just lovable, beautiful soul, really not quite the think positive, and you will attract all that's good in life. It's that, like,
he's not fooling himself.
No.
This fella is not going to make it.
Not quite the same thing. So I really appreciate reading it. I appreciate him sharing it and all that stuff.
It's just so easy to make somebody's day 3% better.
Yeah.
I had an insurance adventure.
Do tell.
I got a spider bite, as is well known. I get bit on occasion, and I'm super reactive to it. And it's right on my calf. I just kind of dressed it. I always put marks around it to see if it's enlarging or anything. And like third day, I did a double at the observatory. So that's field trips for 5.5 hours, a 2-hour break, and then standing running the Zeiss telescope that night. So I was on my feet for like 12 hours.
Eesh, that's
and
tough.
When I got home and pulled my pant up, it looked like Chernobyl had
really
irradiated my leg. The whole thing
Jesus
was terrifyingly red.
Yike.
And normally I'd be like, no, I'm not going to the emergency room. You know, it was 1 a.m. at that point, but yeah. It scared the shit out of me. And the last thing I ever want to be is the guy who,
no.
If only he had arrived 2 hours earlier.
Yeah.
So I went in and they didn't seem too alarmed and antibiotics and a whole bit, but it was crazy. But once again, since it's not, Kaiser is accepted there.
Yeah.
But the copay for emergency room visit, care to guess?
$2,000.
Oh, thank God, no. But $450.
That's still insane.
For somebody, like, they looked, nobody even dressed it.
Yeah,
nobody,
of course.
It's just like, of course. Oh, you'll be all right, take these. And it just shocked me. Because if I'd waited to go to urgent care through Kaiser in the morning, it'd only been $50 copay.
Yeah.
But they're out to get you in every direction.
Yeah. I remember doing that in Costa Rica once. Elizabeth had looked like she broke her ankle. Wasn't clear if she broke it or not.
But
so
she needed x-ray.
We went to this place. They didn't even give her x-ray. The doctor literally looked at her, moved the ankle, said basically, I don't know. And just here, you know, you should get some crutches or something, keep weight off. And that was it, right?
Wow.
And then maybe give us some ice. And then, like, the lady, I was like, oh, you know, you has $300 or something. I'm like, wait, what? For what exactly? For not giving us anything?
Yeah.
It's like, that's what?
A bag of ice?
And she was like, well, that's what it is. And I was like, no, not going to happen. And we just walked out. And
have
that
a
was
great
that.
Day.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not doing that. So, and, you know, you are in a different. I think they were just trying to scam and just...
I'm sure they were.
And once it was just a clear no, they didn't even bother pursuing it. But yeah, I was just like... I mean, it's like people are having a rough day. And I had it even with the... I didn't even tell you that part of the story when the drunk driver thing happened. So the guy who arrived to remove... the police called to remove the other guy's truck from my front yard... Then was like, oh, shall we remove your car? And I was like, sure, I got AAA thing. And he's like, yeah, okay, but then where do we bring it? I'm like, I don't know, I guess to a place where they dispose of cars, because it's like, it's like, oh, no, I can't do that. We can bring it to our garage where we'll store it for $100 a day.
Oh.
And I'm like, no, motherfucker, that's not how it works. And I'm like, dude, you're dealing with people who just had bad shit going down,
yep.
And they are trying to scam them. I'm like, come on, man, just have a minimum of human something, you know?
Some compassion?
Yeah. It's just, no, like a chance to steal some money left and right. And it was just...
I saw some real time karma last night.
Do tell.
So, we made a giant pot of beef stew.
Uh-huh.
And I just had to have some oyster crackers to take it to the next level. So on my way home, there's a Ralph's that's open till 1 in the morning. And I go in, and I collect my sort of things, and I'm standing at the till, and these two little shitty skate rats with a big bottle of gin in each hand are darting for the door.
Okay.
It's one,
yeah,
it's
of course.
Midnight.
Yeah.
And they decided, as the alarm went off, one of them turned around and went, ha, 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 as the other one was running past. And at that moment, an old man with a cart smashed that little running fucker and knocked him to the ground, smashing his bottles. And he went, goddamn thief, ha, 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 ha.
Did he run him over intentionally or did
he
just...
He totally did. He saw what was going down and nailed him with the shopping cart. If only
with the shopping cart.
Oh,
I thought
he didn't tackle him.
I understood.
Did I tell the story wrong?
It sounded like he did. The guy ran him over with the car. I was like, that's a little much.
No, it was a shopping cart.
Okay, got it.
I should tell that better.
I was like, Jesus, if you ran him over with the car, that sounded a little excessive.
So, yeah, he got wiped out. His bottles were smashed. The other little cretin ran away.
Wow.
And I looked at the cashier. He's like, they don't pay me enough to do any of that.
No, exactly.
He'll probably get sued.
Screw it. No, totally. Why would you? It's like, so that a corporation that's paying you minimum wage and gonna cut you the second to save their profits? Fuck them.
And to say that, why? Someone pointed out the other day, how is the term working poor
even
a thing?
Of course. Well, of course. It's the joys of the existing system.
It's got to change.
Yeah.
But it never will it?
Probably not. Probably not. Not likely. But again, you know, it's like, I guess the focus, because of course the focus on the system is like, yeah, what the fuck can you do about it? But what you can do, Paul Bergman thing. I have another one for you. You know how we got a very sweet email a month ago or something that we read?
Yep.
I always forget to ask people if we can use their names or not. So I won't use the name just in case. But like, we got this other one that said, good morning. I'm listening to your most recent Drunken Taoist, only about 15 minutes in. And in the beginning, when you read the one listener email, I couldn't help myself but to write you. I'm in the exact same place. You guys have seriously helped me gain a new perspective of life and have improved my well-being since I first started listening a little over a year ago. You have taken time from your busy schedule to reply to numerous emails from me, and I'm forever grateful. I'm a subscriber to History on Fire, but the Drunken Taoist is by far where I gained the most knowledge. I'm honestly a better human thanks to it, and just wanted you and Rich to know that while I'm far from perfect, I'm on the right path. What a sweet message to wake up to, right?
It's amazing.
Open your email and this is what you get, and you're like, that is so kind, so sweet to take the time and let us know when something is helping somebody or working for somebody.
That's just fantastic.
Yeah.
That makes me feel very nice inside.
Right? That's a nice feeling.
Knowing I'll have to battle flat earthers tonight.
Yeah, but exactly. It's like now you can do it with a different mindset to it.
I just go for embarrassing them.
Yeah.
You're gonna pipe up, you're coming to my science place and you're gonna drop this nugget of shit so the people can listen.
I always thought, like, this is my conspiracy, or maybe I read it somewhere, I probably did, so it's probably not mine, but, like, it's somebody's great conspiracy theory that flat earthers are fake, that it's they are 100% trolls, just because, come on.
They've got to be. What else could it possibly be? But if I he's like, so is the Earth flat? I was like, really?
Jesus Christ.
Here?
Yeah.
You're going to do that here?
Yeah.
Let's just knock it out real quick, Fred. Yeah. I watched the boats drop away at 14 miles on the horizon. Why would that happen if the Earth is flat? I was born in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I have a big telescope. Why can't I see Hawaii if the Earth is flat?
Right.
And they're always like, they got no answer.
No, of course.
And it's just contrarian shitheads.
Yeah, just for the sake of, that's always the problem with.
Want to be upset that I am putting them down in front of people.
Like, well, I mean, don't go. It's like an heckler that gets mad if a comedian slaps them down. It's like, what did you think was going to happen? You know, it's like, just don't want to do that. Don't step up and draw attention to yourself interrupting somebody's show. That's not how it works.
And just sort of, you know, bumming people out. Nobody wants it. It's amazing how people. I had 669 people go through the telescope in 4 hours yesterday.
It's pretty sweet.
And 99% of them were just having a nice time and excited, and it's a new experience.
But I think it's exactly what you said. You know, anytime you're talking about big numbers of people, 1% of any big number of people is going to be hell.
Complete shitheads.
You
know?
It's like if you put a few thousand people together, 1% of few thousand is going to be horrible. And if anything, that's probably like the crazy flat earther is the least horrible that you can run into in terms of horrible shit. Because
it's always some sort of madman in there.
On that note, I guess if you want to feel good about the world, in US you get to, in other countries not so much, but in US you get to find out if you Google, if you put in your address in, or at least your street into a sex registry database, and you get to see all the people convicted for sex offenses, usually against minors, it's like a Christmas tree. The whole map lights up with like, oh, there's a guy 4 doors down, there's another guy 12 doors down, there's a guy about a block away, there's a guy.
What is wrong with people?
And it's like, I look at it in Ohio, and of course there's a guy probably 3 doors down from me, and Ohio is, I don't know, there were 20 people in a place of 10,000 convicted, by the way. Right. Not even if you look at LA or any urban centers where population density gets crazy, it's like, it's insane the numbers you see. And these are not people who are sex criminals. These are people who are convicted sex criminals. Oh. So that's probably, there's an double that number, yeah, at least, to consider the ones who actually are it but haven't been caught.
Yep.
And I was like, wow, Jesus, that puts things in perspective.
What percentage of that do you think is enacting the way they were treated when they were children? That's got to be the biggest part of it, right?
I'm sure there's...
This is what my daddy did to me, so...
No, I'm sure there's a bunch. I mean, it's a classic thing about cycles of abuse perpetuating itself, but not as an excuse. It's an explanation. It's not an excuse, but there's definitely a lot of that. And I mean, hell, even like a friend of mine here who runs a computer place said that, he's handling people's computers all the time.
Oh, shit.
He said that he had to turn in somebody to the police because he opened the computer, kiddie porn all over the place.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
Which, horrible. And I'm glad the guy was that stupid to leave it in his computer when you give the computer in for maintenance so that he actually got busted. If he had just been a little bit smarter, he wouldn't have gotten busted. But, like, on top of it, he's an idiot in addition to being evil. So it's... I was like, wow.
We so don't deserve this planet.
Well, again, that 1% for sure doesn't. Maybe another 10 or 20 or... There's many, but again, think about how... 600, whatever many people who came by your telescope, I'm sure more than 50% were good human beings. They were pleasant at least most of the time.
It's
you
just
know?
An embarrassment as a species, you know? Like, just driving over here, some fool had this extra tailpipe coming out of the back of his pickup truck to spew black shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'd like to tell everybody, if you think of like a big globe at a library... The lacquer on that globe is thicker than the atmosphere. Yet we spew shit into it day and night.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
What, Industrial Revolution 200 years old now?
Not that much. Really not that much.
Just nonstop.
Yeah.
And well, that can't possibly change anything.
That's, by the way, Industrial Revolution is what ruined my video gaming. I've played just about every Assassin's Creed you could possibly play. The last
and then
one
everybody got
I,
indentured into the factory so you couldn't have any adventures anymore?
Well, the last one that I'm playing is set in England in the 1800s.
Just gloom.
Man, the whole setting sucks so bad. That is the only Assassin's Creed game I've ever played that I'm like, I don't really want to be here. Get me out. It's like, this game sucks. And not even because it's not that different from the other Assassin's Creed, but it's like the setting is so uninspiring that I'm just like,
just
Jesus.
Black clouds of coal.
Yeah, get me out of shitty 1800s London.
Speaking of historical things, have you checked Shogun out? I think it's gorgeous, man. And
yeah, it's beautiful.
The uniforms of those samurai. And
visually stunning.
Yeah.
Production is amazing.
Story's hard to keep track of.
Stories, they go a little bit Japanese Game of Thrones, which is fine. My main issue with Shogun is, and it's really the only thing that's lacking, but it's a big one, is characters. I just don't care for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like none of the characters are... I don't sympathize with anybody because nobody's that particularly a cool person that you want to follow or cheer for.
Yeah, I think the only, like the first kind of bearded Portuguese guy, he's kind of got some energy to him.
Yeah,
but he's not a nice person.
You know who did actually that role? Because this is a remake of a TV series they made in 1980. Because
and
know,
the book was the book.
The book was
is it pretty historically accurate, or is it just some garbage some guy threw out and they made it into a?
No, I mean it's a mix in the sense that it's based on what was going on in Japan at the turn of the 1500s and the 1600s. It is about sort of the third of the three founders of modern Japan, and the guy that is based on, like the one that they in the Shogun TV series they call Toranaga is Tokugawa Ieyasu, who is the guy who essentially unifies Japan.
So he really is a real guy.
Oh, he's a real guy. Of course, there's a bunch of stuff that they take liberties with. I mean, even the European navigator guy who's the lead of the show is based on a real guy. A lot of it is based on reality.
And that's
but
who Richard Chamberlain was in the 70s?
Yeah, that's what they... So the book was in 1976 and it sold millions of copies.
Oh, yeah.
In 1980, they made the first TV series of this with Richard Chamberlain. And the funny stuff is, they had Toshirô Mifune, who is one of the greatest Japanese actors ever. He's in just about every other Kurosawa movie.
Nice.
And they had, you know, was playing, you know, you mentioned the guy of this Portuguese navigator, who's kind of a side character, is not that important, but right. It does show up. The guy who played Gimli in Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Was the guy who played it in the 1980 original thing.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was
it's
pretty
funny
sad.
How those guys keep turning up.
Yeah. He must have been in his 30s back then, and then by the time he did Lord of the Rings, he was in his mid-50s or something, and...
Well, he's just stayed busy the whole time.
Yeah.
Because he was also in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah, that was him. That's right.
He
that's
was Sala.
Right. I forgot that was him, yeah.
Just amazing character actor.
No, he's great. He's definitely really good. But yeah, Shogun is totally worth checking out. I mean, despite my... Like, people are like, this is one of probably the best TV show. I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, there's a lot I like about it.
Yeah.
If I don't like any character, it's kind of hard to get into it as much.
No.
But don't get me wrong, I actually, Sav and I decided to go in complete lazy day, so we binge watched like 4 or 5 episodes in one day.
Sure.
It was just like, I was fasting in preparation for a happy colonoscopy.
Happy colonoscopy.
Yes, that was so fun. And so I was like, to get my mind away from food or anything else, let's just watch a bunch of Shogun. We had a blast, you know, it was a lot of fun. So really me bitching about the characters, yeah, it's real, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it's a great show. No, so
it's just gorgeous. Costumes alone is enough to check it out.
Yeah.
That had to be expensive.
Yeah, for sure. That's not a cheap show. Mm.
Do you think there's reenactors in Japan that do things like that?
I would imagine.
Gotta be something like
that.
Yeah. Especially feudal days.
Yeah, I mean, same way as they do like civil war stuff out here. Yeah. And I'm sure the others. And speaking of Japan, I'm actually going next month.
That's right.
Because I'll be part of this tour and I have no idea what to expect. It's...
Have you ever been?
Never been. Never been to Asia, period, let alone Japan specific.
That's a good place to start.
So I'm... You know,
will you
be.
Make it to Ikiru's
temple? Yeah, I will. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be a great picture. I cannot wait.
I will be seeing, even in Shogun, you know how they showed you the giant castle in Osaka?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go to Osaka Castle.
And there it sits to this day?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, rebuilt, of course. Cause
I know, but it's just the architecture is so weird because the top just looks like a little house stuck on the top of it. It's like, and it's the top.
So that should be fun. I'm
Hell
excited
yeah,
about that.
Fun.
I'm
off on my crazy mission next week. We're going for the eclipse.
Where at?
We are triangulated, so we're landing in Nashville, which puts me 7 hours from the center line in Arkansas.
Okay.
So we have a yurt waiting for us there by a lake. The concept is if we go there and it's clear, we're going to take a canoe out.
Oh, nice.
And watch the eclipse from the water.
From the water, beautiful.
Because I can't imagine what the reflections will be like.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's like almost 3 minutes and 30 seconds in totality there. If we go up to the mountain next to it, I just think it might be impossible to get up there with so many people.
In time,
4 minutes of totality
up
there. And then the other backup is we've got a place up in Indianapolis. So we'll have to go inland about 40, 50 miles, but just two options weather-wise, because you don't know what the clouds are going to do.
Of course.
And then, since we're ahead of things, if it looks really terrible, we'll drive all the way to Mexico.
Wow. That's cool.
It's going to be a great adventure.
That's
so
cool. That's
nothing actually planned other than reservations for those two places, and when we land in Nashville at, I think, 9 o'clock, we're taking the red eye out. We're going straight to Legislative Plaza and go to this place called Monell's, and it's family-style. It's cool because you never know if the governor's going to be there. But they seat you at an 18-seat table and then big bowls of breakfast or chicken or potatoes come out. And it's family style, so you have to pass the bowls and actually interact with folks you don't know.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
That sounds like fun. So that's a good experience.
Help me with my shyness. You know how.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise you're going to have a hard time talking to people, yes.
I know. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. I hope we get a good look at it. I did learn, though, because I never knew for sure, like, so what happens if it is cloudy?
Yeah.
It will get dark.
All right.
But you're missing the awesomeness of, there's going to be 5 planets out when it gets dark.
The actual, but it definitely gets dark anyway.
Yeah.
I think I've seen one when it was cloudy, and it still gets pretty damn dark.
Amazing.
So there's a, I'll throw a question your way.
Please.
I think I've been I screwed up. I think this sweet gentleman sent us this email. I don't even want to know how long ago. Probably a long, long, long time. And I always forget. I copied it into things to look at, and I always forgot to look at that page. So we might as well we answer a question by Mr. Dan Prince.
Okay.
So the question revolves a bit around why there are so many guys who seem threatened by the term toxic masculinity, especially in the podcasting genre. A bunch of people who defend folks like Andrew Tate, despite the fairly awful thing that the guy has said about women. He gets into some pretty dark things about people he knew trying to essentially sexually assault some young girl. And you know, he said, surprise, surprise, this guy has been spouting Andrew Tate type of nonsense for a while now. And I feel that there are influential men in the media that feel that it's okay to treat women in what I and many reasonable people believe not only to be unacceptable, but both appalling and revolting. What do you guys think about this stuff?
I find it inexcusable.
Yeah.
What kind of human are you?
Yeah. Yeah,
what don't you go and get? I mean, and I think the whole incel factor seems to tie into all this as well.
Yeah.
The he-man woman haters, they've been around forever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, do you want to be Jeffrey Epstein or Harvey Weinstein?
Harvey Weinstein, yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I've never gotten it. Generally, it looks like if you don't have any game and you're kind of a dick, the girls aren't going to like you. So your response is just to be as shitty as possible to them and just treat them like some sort of object that is there for your pleasuring.
Yeah, and I guess that's what, you know, he's saying a bunch of people make excuses for guys like these. Like,
what would that be?
Like, they are playing a character, you know.
Bullshit.
Their stuff about discipline and seeing is good stuff. And then the rest is, you know, they are playing a character. It's part of a... First... Let's assume that's true. I don't buy it, but let's assume that's true.
I'm just
true.
A tough guy asshole because...
Really, that's your choice to be, is like
character.
Playing
is,
that character.
Is how I want to be known?
I mean, I remember there was long before assholes like Andrew Tate showed up on the scene. Like,
he is terrible.
I don't know if you remember, there was super popular DJ from radio days years ago, Tom Lykos.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Tom Lykos, his entire show.
Madness.
I mean, in a way, if you want to look at it from the point of view of the money-making enterprise, he found one simple shtick,
yep.
Which was talk horrendous shit about women,
yep.
Tell guys how to treat women poorly, get laid anyway, and don't spend money on women. And that was his entire show.
5 days a week.
5 days a week, 5 hours every day. And somehow he had these legions of people following him. And interesting enough, he even had some women following it.
Well,
of course,
see, and I never understand too, because they always want to go flash him. You know? I mean,
well, but that's the other part, is that when you talk about people not liking women, I haven't met that many people who dislike women more than some women. You know,
oh,
it's
yes,
like there's that as well. But beside the
that's
point...
That's the only thing we actually have going for us protectively, is that they dislike each other way more than they dislike us.
Yeah, right. That's the... And I think, like, to me, it's like, yeah, that's not an excuse. Like, the playing a character thing. I mean, Lykos, almost certainly, I think he was playing a character.
I'm sure he was. And
Andrew
laughing
Tate,
his way to the bank.
I'm not as sure about that. I think he may be a little more for real in terms of his feelings and beliefs. But the point is, it's still a shitty thing. There are shitty seeds that you are planting everywhere in terms of the attitude that people will have toward other human beings.
And God forbid you got some kids in your house that are seeing this shit.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it's gross. And to me, in fact, that's why, I mean, to me, like... And I know even some smart people were like, oh, toxic masculinity. It's like, nobody's saying masculine. I mean, actually, maybe there are some people who do, and that becomes the problem. There are people who are probably like, everything about masculinity is toxic. And it's like, okay, those are idiots.
Yeah,
because that's obviously
not true.
Not true.
There's
and
still
those
some chivalry
are,
around somewhere.
And those are the people who feed the... But the idea of toxic masculinity is not masculinity is bad. Is there's a certain approach to masculinity that's fucked up and toxic and messed up. And as such, you want to condemn that one while also promoting a better attitude of what it means to be a man and all of... So you're not saying men are evil, period, the end. That's not at all. Is certain men who promote certain ideas and certain attitudes are fucked up.
Yep.
And luckily there are others who are awesome human beings and they provide great role models and they show what it means to be a man in a good way. And so to me, the fact that there are actually some smart people who seem deeply offended by the idea of toxic masculinity is like, are you not understanding what we're talking about here?
No, it's you're not... missing who we're labeling. Yeah, there exactly. There are definitely some toxic assholes out there.
Yeah. Yeah,
that wreck things for a great many people.
And of course, this sweet fella ends the email by thanking us by having instead provided something very different when it comes to what it means to be human beings and men in specific. So very sweet. Thank you for the kind words.
I'm going to be all puffed up going home, man.
Right? Wow. Today's going to check this out. You and Rich have definitely had a positive, influential impact on me as a man. How sweet. Thank you.
See?
But honestly, like, to me, it's not that fucking hard, really. I mean, it's embarrassing in a way that setting the bar at a minimum height is doing something useful, because the reality is that just be as kind as you can be to people who deserve it. Just try to be as kind to anybody as much as you can without being a fool and opening yourself for somebody to just be abusing you. But other than that, you know, you have a spine, you have strength if needed, but because you have strength, you can afford vulnerability, you can afford to be kind, you can afford to even make a mistake and be a little kind with people who don't deserve it because you're strong and you can handle it.
Yep.
That's it. It's not that complicated.
It's not that goddamn hard to exist with a smile on your face and give a nice glance at people.
And
you will get a reaction. And people are sometimes stunned, but you can see somebody having a terrible day and just giving them a little smile.
Yeah.
You can see it lift off of them for a moment. And even if it's for a moment. But no. You just give me a scowling dickhead to everybody you run into all day. I mean, who better to smash in the head?
And these stereotypes about, like, you know, clearly from many men's point of view, these really looking down on women and looking at women as, it's like, it's the same bullshit as some women do, as all men are evil and terrible and horrible. It's like, you guys are made for each other. You're both dumb because you're painting with this big brush stroke and a whole 50% of the population, like everybody's the same.
And they reinforce their notions by the people they encounter and the people they...
Yeah, because it's like, are there some women who are terrible and there is there a toxic femininity?
Of course. There's some vile vipers out there for sure.
Much in the same way as there are plenty of men who are terrible and toxic. And luckily, there are plenty of women and men who are absolutely delightful. Not that complicated of a concept, you know, but these the guys who milk their audience by finding people who are resentful of all the people they didn't get enough attention from on the other side of the sexual spectrum, and
then probably didn't deserve it, my friend.
There's that. And even if maybe you are a sweet guy and you got treated bad, okay, what? Like 3, 4, 5 women were assholes to you?
Yeah.
So that from there you decided to paint the entire... every single woman in the world in those terms. It's like, come on, man. Look, not
I couldn't be more different, man. I find our female friends to be outstanding.
There was a guy who was
I'm sure there's 500 examples of,
yeah there's,
which there always is, but for the most part,
no, totally. There was a guy, actually, I remember way back when, many years ago, we even bought one of our t-shirts, if you can believe it. To that I started, you know, he would write me on Facebook or something, and then I sowed the scent into the straight-up misogyny worse and worse and worse until, you know, it became clear that, we didn't end on good terms as a result of that, because I was trying to sort of reel him back a little bit, but there was no reeling him back.
No saving him?
No. It was very far gone, and he was ugly to watch. It was ugly to watch somebody who, I don't know, maybe I was an idiot all along, I have no idea, but it's like, didn't come across as a horrible human being from the start, but then as I saw his arc, it got uglier and uglier and uglier, and there was no turning around.
Well, he's probably, I forget the exact name of it, there's some sort of Christian renewal group right now, where the only way you can join, you have to be invited,
right?
You have to be male, got to be straight, and their notion for 2025 and beyond is, women don't even get to have money anymore.
Yeah,
they want
course.
Them barefoot and pregnant.
Of course.
This is like actual, I mean,
Yeah, no, I mean,
is
I
that
think...
really, and it's all sort of in the whole fight about critical race theory, all these things that we're going to be replaced.
Yeah.
It's just madness. I mean,
yeah,
this is an incredible place, and there's lots of exciting adventures and people to meet, and all they want to do is shit on things and be under control.
And I think in that regard, like having spending time on the net, reading about this stuff that in the real world you're not going to run into that much. Spending time on the net and reading about it constantly doesn't exactly help
it
the perception of the... But in any case, so be sweet humans. There's plenty of good to be done around you. There are plenty of good human beings around you. There are plenty of human beings who are struggling, but you may be able to help along the way.
Even a tiny bit, it helps.
And speaking of helping, I'm going to be helpful by being a semi-nice father by actually picking up my kid on time. So I'm going to run off in order to pick her up from school.
Excellent.
And not leave her stranded, sad, alone in the parking lot.
No, don't want to do that.
Nope.
All right. Well, Eclipse update coming soon. And then Japan update. I can't wait for that. Well, the funky music means one thing. That's the end of another fine, mysterious episode of the Drunken Dials podcast.
Yes, indeed.
I'll be excited to hear it again myself. It's been a little bit.
Yeah, because neither of us remember who you guys just heard, so we'll find out soon.
I do believe it was a positive one. I don't think,
I think we have been on a fairly decent roll as far as trying
to... We'll find out how wrong we are
trying
very
to
shortly.
Bring the good folks some good vibes. But yes, take the good vibes, run with it, enjoy your day. And we'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Goodbye. Would you like to hear a terrible story?
Yes, always.
One day the rod shall teach you.
What have we learned this week?
Be calm, be kind, be brave.
Yep, words to live by. See you guys.
Ta-da!
D-B-O-L-E-L-L-I.
Good shit.
R-I-C-H-I-M-O-N and the numeral 1. And so ends another awesome episode of the Drunken Dials podcast. Be sure to keep your ears peeled for another mind-expanding episode coming soon. We'll be tweeting you as they come out. You can keep track of Daniele at D Bolelli. That's D-B-O-L-E-L-L-I. And you can find me on Twitter at Richimon1. R-I-C-H-I-M-O-N and the numeral 1. We'll see y'all soon. Woo!